The Apostle James tells us that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective, and so my question is do we believe that this morning as we come before the Father and we offer up our prayers to Him? Do we believe that there is power in those words? And so, Father, we come before You this morning to tap into that power, Your power, Your holy, awesome strength and ability and control and effectiveness. Lord, open up our minds this morning to Your word and truth, and help us to realize our own inability to reconcile our own broken lives. Teach us to come to You with empty hands and full hearts. As we worship today, may we come to the understanding that You are in every aspect of our worship here this morning, and that when we speak to You out of a desire to praise You, and out of a desire to hear from You, and out of the desire to be blessed by You, may we be filled with Your Spirit right now. And may we ask that You would do something supernatural in our hearts. And we ask this in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. We've been talking about what the gathering is all about here at Pepsi for the last few weeks, as we gather Sunday after Sunday, right? And we've asked the question, what makes a person a true worshiper of God? What makes a person a true worshiper of God? And is the answer reflected in our gathering each Sunday? And so as we reflect on prayer today, we hear James say that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. This is what fellowship or the gathering was all about in Acts chapter 2, right? When the beginning of the church came, it says that they devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. It wasn't an add-on. It wasn't just that they had time. It wasn't, you know, just before a meal, or it wasn't just a certain person. It was as essential to their gathering as breathing. A devotion to prayer meant that they actually believed that there was power in the words that they were saying. See, prayer connects us to our Creator. It connects us to what we are praying for. It is this fellowship that we have with each other and with God. Prayer is what centers us and realigns our soul. But let's go back to the scripture and read this whole passage here in James. James chapter 5, verse 6, or verse 13 through 16. It says this. This is this great passage about praying in faith. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Now, many of you guys might be like, well, my righteousness level is a little low this week. I don't know if I should offer any prayers. The great thing about righteousness is it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God. God is righteous, so therefore He has made you righteous. And so we can come before Him. So when we say the prayer of the righteous, we're talking about each and every one of you. As we gather here on a Sunday morning, it's not just Gary or myself or Pastor Matt. It's all of us praying together. In Matthew 18, it speaks of agreeing together in prayer with one another. It says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything and ask for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. There I am with them. Jesus is there with them. Jesus is here with us. Jesus made this statement to highlight the power of prayer together. Whether that be with groups of two or three or a larger group or even a church community, Jesus tells us that the power of prayer with others is a form of spiritual agreement in our hopes and desires and what we bring to the Lord. You see, this is the benefit of community prayer. It connects us to who we are praying for. It connects us to what we are praying about, and it connects us to who we are praying to. But first, we must know what prayer actually is. We have to have a proper understanding of prayer. And I know that seems pretty basic because many of you guys you've grown up in the church. You've heard thousands of community prayers, right? Many of you guys, maybe this is all new to you and you're still trying to figure out and understand what prayer is. But a lot of you guys understand prayer, right? And to be honest, for most of you, nothing I say here today is going to be groundbreaking for you. Like no one out there is going, oh, as followers of Christ, we need to pray. Like, wow, that's brand new information. Didn't know that one. Like, we need to pray every day. Wow, that's good. I'll have to try that one out, right? Like, prayer is talking to God. Wow, dang, I thought I was just talking to myself. Like, no, you all know this, but it's important for us to be reminded and encouraged in prayer. Otherwise, it'll become very routine and mundane. And the last thing that we want is for our prayer to God to be an add-on to our service out of obligation. We at Pepsi, we understand that we need to tap into the power of the Lord with honest and real prayer. And so what is prayer? How do we have prayer that is powerful and effective? I could list out 75 points today from Scripture about what Scripture tells us about how to pray, and most likely you'd forget all of them by the time that you walked out of here this morning, so I've narrowed it down to just seven. All right, I'm gonna give you 7 points today. Even then, you're like, oh man, how long are we gonna be here? 7 points? That's a lot. But about 4 or 5 years ago, a buddy of mine, he was planning to hike and climb Long's Peak. How many of you guys ever climbed up Long's Peak and made it all the way to the summit? Okay, very few of you. That's okay. Now, Long's Peak is one of over 50 of the 14ers here in Colorado. It's actually Colorado's most deadly peak. It is the highest failure rate out of any of those trying to summit out of any other peak in Colorado. And so my buddy, he had asked me if I had ever hiked Long's Peak, and I hadn't. I'd never hiked it before, and so I said no. And so then he said, well, how many 14ers have you hiked? What other 14ers have you hiked? And I was embarrassed, because here's the thing, guys. Like, I consider myself to be kind of an outdoorsman, right? Like, I love to hike and camp and to fish, and you know, I love to do those things. I do those things all the time. I love hiking, but I just never hiked an actual 14er, right? And so when I told my buddy that I had never hiked a 14er, he laughed at me. He was like, you've lived in Colorado for most of your life and you've never hiked one of these big, beautiful 14,000 foot mountain? He's like, how is that even possible? You can't call yourself an outdoorsman, right? Like, he said that if you live in Colorado, it is essential for any outdoorsman to hike at least one 14er. And I was like, where's that written? Like, that's kind of silly. I've never seen that rule. But he got in my head, so what do you think I did? Well, in the same way, the first thing that we need to know about prayer is that prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. And again, this isn't earth-shattering news for you guys. You guys know this, right? But it's not just in our daily lives. It's also essential in the gathering of God's people. Like I said earlier, prayer is more essential than breathing. And you go, well, Dan, breathing's pretty important. I don't know. Maybe that might be the most important thing. No. That's wrong, because when you realize who it is that gives you that breath, kind of puts your life and priorities into perspective, does it not? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, in the Message translation, it says, in the same way, prayer is essential. In this ongoing warfare, pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open and keep others' spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Prayer is essential. And so I decided to hike Long's Peak with my buddy. I obviously wasn't going to let him call me out, right? I had to restore honor to my outdoorsman status, I guess. But here's the thing. The reason that I had never climbed Long's Peak before is because of this. Here is the first picture that I took on my hike up to Long's Peak. You might be thinking that there must be some sort of technical difficulty, like maybe the sound booth has fallen asleep back there, or maybe the screen froze, but no, this is it. This is the first picture because for the first 4 hours of the hike on Long's Peak, this is what it looks like. The reason that I had never hiked Long's Peak before is because it takes a long time. You literally have to start the night before, right? Like, you have to go to bed early, and by early, I mean like 7 o'clock, so you can get a few hours of sleep, because you got to get up by midnight, drive to the mountain, and start the hike at 2 a.m., 2 o'clock in the morning, and so you have to hike in the dark. Have you ever hiked in the dark before? My buddy told me to buy a headlamp, and I was like, headlamp? What, are we going to, like, mine caves? Like, I don't need a headlamp. It's crazy, right? Well, it turns out you do need a headlamp so you can see where you're going, so you can hike with your hands free, because the chances of you falling while hiking in the dark is 100%. And if you're lucky and your hands are free, you can stop yourself from hitting your face on the ground. You see, you need to be careful in every step that you take. You need to take caution. Hiking Long's Peak at night takes 100% focus and determination. Prayer is focus. Prayer is focus. Prayer takes focus, and it also brings focus into our lives. You see, when we gather for our worship and we pray for our world and for the needs in our community and the concerns of our people, we need to be determined to talk to God. But our focus shouldn't be on our problems. Our focus should be on the Lord. Our focus should be on the Lord. It is said that when you fix your thoughts on God, God fixes your thoughts. Isn't that good? When you fix your thoughts on God, God fixes your thoughts. And so, yes, it is good to pray for the needs before us, but with a focus on God. You see, many of us, we struggle with so many things in our lives that we're being weighed down by the trials of our life. And I believe if we would just focus on God, we would understand that these things are just so little compared to Him. Like, why do you think God tells us to be still? He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You see, when we are not still, our mind is going to be filled with so much noise from the trials around us. So prayer is focus. Prayer is focus. And so after hiking for like 4.5 hours in the dark on Long's Peak, the sun starts to peek out over the top of the mountain. And on Long's Peak, there is this section called the keyhole. The keyhole. And you get to this keyhole about sunrise. And you see this beautiful view from the keyhole of the sun coming up over the horizon. And it's actually very beautiful. It's awesome. But the problem is when you get to the keyhole, that is when things start to get real dangerous. You see, just over the keyhole is this giant cliff. And you realize that the next part of the hike is you're going to be scaling on the side of this mountain over this cliff, which is awesome. And so I get to this section, and I take a little break. I sit down. I see these two guys, these two other hikers off to the side. And so I go, and I sit down next to them, and I say, hey, and, you know, tell them, you know, who I am. I told them that this is my first 14er that I'm hiking, you know, and talk to them a little bit. They told me that they were from Nebraska, and I was like, oh, yeah, you got a lot of 14ers in Nebraska. And they looked at me all weird, and I was like, yeah, okay, they don't get it, all right. But then after talking to them for a while, they finally got up, and they started to hike back. They were going back. And I was like, well, what's going on? Like, they're supposed to go this way. Like, we're only like halfway done at this hike. But they were hiking back, right? And I was like, well, where are you guys going? And they were like, oh, we're kind of tired. You know, we got all the way up here. We looked over the cliff. We're like, yeah, that's not us. We're not going to do that. It looks too hard, you know. And so we're tired. We're going to head back. And so here's the thing. Like I didn't know these guys. I don't know why, but I just kind of shout out. I was like, no, you can't go. Like, where are you guys going? You can't turn back now. Like the fun is just beginning. Like we're just starting the fun. Like, think Think of how happy you'll be when you get to the top, when you get to the summit. Think of how proud you will be of yourself. And plus, it's not even 6:30 in the morning. You can't quit anything before 6:30 in the morning. Plus, I realized that if these guys, who are like 10 years younger than me, if they couldn't do it, there's no way I was going to be able to do it. So I'm like, come on, guys, you can do this. And again, I don't know why, because they didn't know me. I was just some crazy bearded guy that sat next to them, but they said, yeah, you're right, let's do it. Let's do it. We can finish this. And they were like kind of encouraging each other on. They're like, yeah, let's do it. And so they actually went and they finished. They did get to the top. I saw them up on the top and gave them a big high five. You see, here's the thing. Sometimes hiking Long's Peak takes encouragement. Sometimes you need to be inspired. And so prayer is inspiration. Prayer is inspiration. Prayer brings encouragement and motivation. See, when we look at the world through God's eyes, we see things differently. We see things from a different perspective, looking towards not what seems to be impossible, but what is possible through the Lord. When we look through God's eyes, we see not what would be selfish, always benefiting us, but what would be best for the kingdom of God. You see, life through God's eyes is different. It is a life that is better. And not just better for you, but better for everyone. And when we pray this way together through God's eyes, then we are communicating with Him on a much deeper, more meaningful way. We are making a connection that is beautiful. Listen to how Jesus prays in John chapter 17. He is praying for His disciples. Listen to this. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their words, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, and that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them as you loved me. See, Jesus, He's praying for us. He's praying for us. He's praying that we might know God through Him. He prays that we would be surrounded by His love. He prays for encouragement for His children, for His people. You see, prayer is inspiration. Prayer is inspiration. And so as I'm scaling the side of this mountain, my buddy and I, we're hiking together, and we get to this section where you're literally kind of just like walking along the ledge of the mountain, and below you is this giant cliff to the bottom of the mountain way down there. And so we're hiking across this ledge, and we get to this point where the ledge becomes more and more narrow, and eventually it comes to a point where it becomes so narrow that it's humanly impossible to cross this little gap to the other side. And I believe this is where God was like, all right, humans, this is as far as I want you to go. But humans are stupid, right? And so some guy was like, yeah, you know what? Let's just cement an iron pole into this ground, into the side of this mountain. Let's use that as a step to get to the other side, right? And so here is a picture of this iron rod that is sticking out. It's cemented out of the side of the mountain. And this is as you look down. That's not like a sideways view. Like that foot is looking down off the side of the cliff. And there's this little gap between you and the other side. And you got to use that little pull to jump to the other side. And I turn and I look at my buddy. And he looks at me and he's like, I read about this place. This is where most people fall. And so I jumped on the rod and jumped to the other side just like that. No big deal, right? I figured if somebody, and I turned around and I look at my buddy and he's staring at me just shaking his head like, and I was like, what? I mean, obviously people have done this. I mean, but he stands there and he stands out and he looks at the horizon for like 5 minutes. He's just staring off at the horizon. And finally I'm like, come on, let's go. What are we doing? Like, let's get going. Let's move on. And he's like, be quiet, Dan. I'm like, well, what are you doing? He's like, I'm praying. I'm like, come on, it's not that scary. You know, you jump on the little pole, you come across, you can do it. I did it. I'm sure many other people have done it. He's like, I'm not afraid that I'm going to fall. I know that I'm going to be able to do this. And I was like, well, why are you praying? He's like, because by the off chance that I do fall, I don't want my last conversation to be with you. So shut up, I'm talking to God. And it was at that moment that I realized that there was some danger in what we were doing. It wasn't necessarily safe. But here's the thing, and my next point about prayer, it might be confusing, but hear me out. Prayer is dangerous. Prayer is dangerous. You see, I believe powerful and effective prayer is dangerous. You see, a lot of people think that prayer is safe. And don't get me wrong, prayer is good, but it is not a spectator sport. You see, when we pray for the needs around us, you know how I said that prayer connects us to the things that we are praying for? Well, when we pray for God to move in our lives or in the lives of others, we need to be prepared ourselves to act. Like, because God may choose to use us to be the solution for what we are praying about. The purpose of prayer is not just to get what we want. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do our will, but for us to know God and for us to do God's will. See, when we pray corporately here with our community each Sunday, we pray with a hope and a desire that our pleading to God will inspire action amongst God's people. That is you, that is myself, that is all of us here, right? How silly would it be for us to stand up here every Sunday and pray for things on this stage that we aren't actually willing to do anything about? See, when we pray for the lost and broken and the dark world around us, we need to become the men and women who bring light to these dark places. When we pray for the resources for the needy around the world, we need to become the people of God who give sacrificially for the cause. You see, dangerous prayers, they will challenge us. They will make us uncomfortable. They will break us. They will transform us, entirely change our lives. These dangerous prayers, they won't necessarily harm us per se, but they will take us to new levels in our walk of faith. They will make us more like Christ and draw us closer in intimacy with God. The prophet Isaiah, he actually began his ministry with one of these dangerous prayers. Do you remember? Isaiah 6:8. He says, "And I heard a voice in the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Here I am, send me. You see, as we gather Sunday after Sunday morning, our prayer, our anthem each week should be just that. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here we are, God, send us into the world to be ambassadors for Christ, for you. How can we serve? How can we be the answers to the prayers that we are praying? Asking God to send you is dangerous because you don't always know where God's going to send you. He may send you to do something opposite of your dreams, and it will be difficult. Prayer is dangerous. Prayer is dangerous. Well, I finally reached the summit of Long's Peak. I did. After hiking for hours in the dark and scaling the side of the mountain and risking my life, I climbed the last few inclines, right? And I peeked over the last step on the top of the mountain. And do you know what I saw? Everything. Everything. It's like you can see everything from up there. I'll tell you what, seeing the view from the top of the mountain, it puts everything into perspective. 360 view. You can just see it all. There were about 25 others on top of Long's that day when I was there, and I watched as every single one of them took their last steps. Right? They just spent 6.5 hours just grueling and just like hands and feet climbing, right? Sweat drenching off of everybody, but as soon as they reached the top, every single one of them, as soon as they reached the top, they got big smiles on their faces, and they cheered, and they clapped their hands, and they raised their hands in the air, and they laughed, and they cried, and every one of them praised. They looked out at the view over all of creation as far as the eye could see, and they praised. Now, not everybody probably knew who they were praising, but they were praising nonetheless. Prayer is praise. Prayer is praise. Hebrews 13, 15, it says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. You see, prayer is praise. And when we say praise, we are not just talking about telling God how good he is. Like, that's great and all, right? I'm sure he loves hearing that, but trust me, God already knows how good he is. Scripture tells us that creation shouts praises to God. The Bible says that the trees of the field, they'll clap their hands, the rocks will cry out, right? The mountains will sing praise, the stars will declare his glory, the earth already praises God. It is awesome for us to shout to God how great he is, but God does not need our praise. He loves it, but creation already does that. This verse, it says that through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. Friends, praise is acknowledging God. Praise is acknowledging God. Anytime that we take time to talk to him or think about him or be still before him, we are acknowledging him and therefore praising him. Are you excited and grateful for what God is doing in your life? Tell him that's praise. Are you frustrated and angry? Tell him that's praise. Are you lonely and depressed? Tell him that's praise. We praise the Lord by acknowledging him, his presence among us. That's why we don't ask God to join us when we worship, right? Like, do you realize how crazy that sounds when churches are like, Lord, we'd like to invite you into worship? God's like, I'm already there. I'm already here. God's always here. He's just waiting for us to acknowledge him and to come to him like children come to their father. If I liked my kids based on how much they told me how awesome I am, I probably wouldn't like them very much. Because they don't tell me how awesome I am that often, right? If my kids came up to me every morning and they were like, good morning, Dad, like, you look good today. Like, is that a new flannel? Have you been working out? You look really strong. I like the way you combed your beard this morning. I'd be like, what do you want? Get away from me. Leave me alone, right? Like, they don't do that. But sometimes my kids are filled with joy. And like when they feel safe and comfortable and happy, they will come up to me and they will say, Dad, I love you. I love you, Daddy. In fact, my son, Caleb, he's 9 years old. He's the most affectionate kid I know. Like 12 times a day, he'll be like, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. Like we'll be on a car ride. I love you, Daddy. Sitting on the couch watching TV. I love you, Daddy. Eating dinner. I love you, Daddy. Tell me all the time, I love you, Daddy. You see, yes, praise God. Tell him that he is good. But more importantly, just be with him. Just be with him. Acknowledge his presence in your life. And when we do this corporately, we tell God that we know he is here, we know that we are loved, and we know that he is good. Great prayer, great worship starts with recognizing who God is. And then that leads us to us recognizing who we are. God, we are sinners. We are unworthy. And so as I'm standing up at the top of Long's Peak, just marveling at the beauty around, one thought ruined it all for me. The thought of the 6-hour hike back. You see, when you are standing on the mountaintop, your journey is not over. There is no zip line that takes you back down to your car. That would be cool. I would do that. That would be awesome. I'd pay for something like that, right? But no, you have to endure the hike back. Prayer is enduring. Prayer is enduring. You see, many of us have a hard time praying. Or maybe even when we pray here together in church, maybe our minds wander or our hearts aren't right in the right place, and we just don't feel like prayer. And so how do we get to a place where prayer isn't a chore? Like, how can we develop a prayer life that the Bible promises us? The answer is that we endure. We persevere. We continue to practice a life of prayer until we see the fruit that it produces. And I guarantee you that you will see fruit. And I can guarantee you that because that's the Word of God. That's what the Bible promises us. In John 15:16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you, that your fruit may abide, that it may remain. So ask the Father." Prayer is enduring, it's persevering. And so I'm going to invite the worship team back up this morning. And like I said, there is no secret formula to powerful and effective prayer. You can take these points, you can leave some, you can add your own. You can search the Word is probably the best way, and the Word of God will tell you what prayer is and how to have more effective and powerful prayer life. But all we really need to do is to understand is that we need to abide in Him. We need to abide in Him. As difficult as the hike up Long's Peak was, after 12 hours, as soon as I got back to the car, I immediately realized one thing. I wanted to do it again. I knew I was going to do that again. So one more point I want to add for prayer is this, is that prayer is forever. Prayer is forever, and that brings hope, because one day we will be face to face with our Lord, and we will worship Him, but we will have no need to bring Him our troubles, because we won't have any, right? Prayer in heaven is eternal. Prayer in heaven is eternal connection where we will forever abide in Him. Father God, we come to you this morning to abide in you. No matter where we are in life right now, whether we're frustrated, whether we're worried, whether we have anxiety going on in our lives, whether we're sad, maybe we're happy, maybe we're joyful, maybe we're grateful, God, we bring it all to you. We recognize that we are your children, and you just want us to be with you, to recognize you, and to understand that you love us. You created us. Help us to abide in you. Encourage us. I pray that your word will come true in our lives and that we will see it effectively. And then that when we speak back to you, God, let us know that our words are powerful, because you are powerful. Are good. And so we come to you today, and we just say we love you, Father. I love you, Daddy.